Okay, I'm going to call the special meeting of Town Discovery Bay to order at 6:30. We have roll call, please.
President Pease.
Here.
Vice President Leet.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Now, we're going to dispense with the flag salute. We'll do that at a regular meeting. Public comment? There is no public comment. And I'll turn it over to staff.
The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will convene into closed session per the items on the agenda D1, D2, and D3.
Okay, we're going to reconvene. We were in a special session and turn it back over to staff to finish out the meeting.
Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors is returning from closed session on three items, and there are no reportable action with respect to any of the three items.
That meeting is now closed. We're going to start the regular meeting at 7:08. We apologize to the public for running a little over, but we started at 7:08. Roll call, please.
President Pease.
Here.
Vice President Leet.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
And
we have a quorum.
We'd like to have Director Graves lead us in the pledge of
allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this point, we're going to have public comments, public can comment on anything that's not on the agenda. We have a 3-minute speaking time limit. Is there any public comments? I guess everyone's bashful this afternoon, so we'll close public comments and go into agency reports. Sheriff's Office, please.
Coming through here, there's one issue I wanted to bring up. If you look on the date, page 3 and 4, you'll see a lot of like auto burns, grand theft, petty theft. You see those dates, 4, 7, 4, 8, pretty much half of the same. Just to throw it out there, one of the neighbors at about 3 in the morning was up, heard a vehicle. Driving slowly through the street there. They peek out of the window, they see somebody step out of the vehicle, go up to their vehicle, and was doing something. That person went ahead and knocked on the window and kind of spooked that person that was outside of their neighbor's yard. They ran to their vehicle and took off. The next morning, that person called in and realized the police were missing. I can't say 100% sure if that's the same person that kind of did everything else on that night, but if you guys are at home, it's 3 in the morning, and you see something suspicious like that, please give us a call. I can't stress that enough, because give our office a chance to go out there and make contact with this individual. My best, by looking at the reports here, the paint desk, broken windows, valuables left in the car, jewelry broken, stuff was taken, tools taken out of the back of the truck and stuff. All that happened the same night. And with that said, to me it looks like it could have been that same person that been driving around the whole town doing that. And that was a missed opportunity on that aspect. But that's my best advice for the community. Call us when you see something like that, especially 2-3 in the morning. Let our officers get out there. Let the dispatcher talk to you on your phone. Try to get a better description of what we got out there. The month before that, we had that with the residential burglary, and it solved a lot of issues for us. And that's what stress in the community. Other than that, I know, I think the last meeting, I wasn't here, but I think some concerns were a lot of, was it traffic?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've seen maybe in the last few weeks there's a little bit of step up in enforcement a little bit. You'll see a little bit more presence out there. So the lieutenant's going to address that issue. And I work working closely with Downey Retail Park. I don't know if they'll touch on that or not. To try to just do a little bit more traffic or a little bit of community awareness on that aspect of it.
I've noticed it quite a bit.
Any particular questions from anyone?
That's the number to call if you see something suspicious?
The 646-2441. Just let them know who you are and where you're at, especially from your cell phone, your physical location. Just say, hey, this doesn't look right. Can you send an officer, please, out to the area? Whatever you see, give your best description. And the dispatchers are going to ask you more detail, and you just answer the best way you can.
Just another question.
Yes, ma'am.
I saw something on Facebook that from back east this morning about someone's husband had died because there's an issue with 911 calls from cell phones being bounced around from, I guess, towers, and that it's best to do those emergency calls on the landline. Is that correct?
Well, I know in our system we're working, with the towers and the triangle, being in a registering your phone and all that stuff. But it is. If you do have a landline, pick it up. When it comes to our dispatch, it'll come off with a physical address. And that's why sometimes when you call our dispatchers, they'll ask you just to confirm your address, just to double check what's coming.
Mm-hmm. That was the comment on Facebook. You just want to know.
And that's why I stress the 646-2441, which is our dispatch center, and tell them, hey, I'm somewhere, this is where I'm at first. Yes, sir.
At last month's meeting, divulged that four vehicle stops had taken place by your department.
Wait, what?
Four vehicle stops had taken place by your department last month. At last month's meeting. How many did you do this month?
You know, I don't have those numbers. I don't have those numbers. I know that we've had an increase with the 555 calls for service, 500 calls more than average. And I can't say if I'm looking at calls for service exactly what that is.
So, just interested in what the ramp up was.
Well,
because on social media, there was one day when I found everybody talking. I mean, one day.
Well, I can't answer questions on what people talk about on social media. I can tell you what we've been doing. We
have been putting our company stops yet.
We got our officers coming out in a couple hours. We had a couple of reserve motor officers coming out. We also have our resident sent on the phone and working close to CHP. We've also been in different areas, putting the trailers out, putting the ones, I think it was Marinda Lafayette, who pulled their trailer out. I think we're working with the town of Discovery Bay and manipulating our trailer around also.
Right. Tony, if I can clarify something.
Yeah.
There was four citations written. There was far more stops.
Okay, you may be right.
I just remember the number four. Yeah, it was.
We are pulling a lot more, and I can't remember you an exact number, because I don't know the exact number. But it's well more than four. And we're not, simply getting it hard like this, we're doing a lot of warnings as it sits now, because we want the community awareness more about it. But we're doing a lot of work. A couple of weeks into that, maybe we'll tend to step it up to the site part where we start monetary gain on, sites on that aspect. But there is a bigger, I don't know if you noticed, but there is a, I know our guys have
been. There's no better teacher than a teacher of your water.
It is. And the main thing we're trying to do is just get people, come on, look at where you're driving and how you're driving. People walking dogs out here, just need to take care of
it. Cell phone or a minor cup of coffee.
Right.
Meanwhile, you have a kid in the front seat.
Yeah.
That should be in the front seat something. And a little yellow thing chopping the car.
Yeah, we're going to have to appreciate the
effort.
I would like to pass along our thanks to Sheriff Livingston for assigning a little bit more patrol detail out here. And I know from the letter that I received, I communicated with him and communicated back. And we're looking at getting some radar equipment possibly in the future. So it may not have happened already, but it's coming. They're listening. So thank you very much. And
I just want to thank the Sheriff's Department for stopping by for Earth Day. It was a good turnout. A lot of people were interacting with you folks, so thanks for the visibility.
Any other questions?
So if we need to speak to the law enforcement, do we have to do it, other than at this meeting?
Oh, you can call law enforcement. Call the office. Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember that I spoke to you that time?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because it's things that you guys would be concerned in also, it seems.
We're very concerned, but there's a timeframe, we've got other issues. This is just an update for them. If you'd like to communicate with any law enforcement, feel free to call us. Yeah, they don't work for us.
No, but you guys have input to them, don't you?
Yeah, we're giving it.
Same as you.
Thank you. CHP, please.
Hello, Board. Officer Thompson, Highway Patrol. The activity we had last month, and I'll tell you what the stats. We had 5 DUI arrests out here, discovered there. 71 total citations for issue, prompt for only speed type stuff. The areas I included, Balfour Road area, B91, which is Vixler Road, 92, which is Discovery Bay, so Marsh Creek right here off Vixler, and then Highway 4, Vixler area right in here, and then Byron Highway right here by Byron. So everything basically pretty much is what we're talking about. So that's the activity that was done out here. Someone briefly mentioned about the activity that we're seeing out here. I've talked with Lieutenant Hobbs, and we talked about it, you know, try to get another guy that we hired on our CRT team that started Monday to get him out here and possibly another officer out here to help us out and do kind of like a just get together, stop people, maybe give some warnings or something like that. I think people are having a lot of issues and might be on the point of warning and actually just write some citations to people. It seems to do a lot. You guys have anything for me?
I'd just like to thank you for last month taking the time to spend an hour or so out there talking to the citizens. It was helpful. The feedback was great. It was really appreciated.
It was great. Just people needed some information. It's nice to be heard. You know. If you guys, any of the public, you guys want to ask some questions, I'll go out there and we can talk or anything like that. Okay.
Thank you. East County Fire.
Good evening, Board. Hugh Anderson. For the month of April, the district had a total of 521 calls with an average response time of 604. In the Discovery Bay Byron area, there were 62 calls, response time of 10 minutes and 31 minutes. The total activity for the Vixler engine was 101 calls, which was about 17% of the total call volume for the month. 2 weeks ago, we did hire 5 firefighters. They're in their third week of training and we're working on getting the Knightson station open on July 2nd. I've left with your legal counsel tonight a copy of the district's white paper that I talked about a couple weeks ago. And so also a copy of the resolution that our board approved for the lease for the post-fire station for there. So, and I know you have that on your agenda tonight, so we appreciate working with the town on that project also.
He left the machine. He left something.
Chief, forget that thing of the fire lost. We brought back one firefighter that left us a couple years ago to go into Southern California. His roots are here and he came back. Everybody else has kind of gone to places. During that big layoff that we did at 11 firefighters, everybody landed on their feet.
Just now. Before
the government was going to be essential. For us to talk to the other agencies, talk to the health care.
I just wanted to invite the chief to hang around till 10 o'clock tonight at our meeting, just like I did his meeting on Monday night. That was a fun meeting, chief. Thank you very much for sharing that with me.
Director Graves, you know you can't make this stuff.
Exactly.
It's got to be an inside baseball joke. We're not going to be here at 10 o'clock. You guys are free and birth.
Chief, another MSR is coming, municipal service review is coming to not go for fire or medical.
Okay, so it's out for public review as of either yesterday or today. It'll be introduced in the first round next week. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to show anything that anybody in the community hasn't seen before as far as the municipal service review. It talks about we're covering the 249 square miles with three engines, and that's inadequate service as a LOFCO thing. As Director Graves said, we had a very long board meeting the other night that lasted almost 5 hours. We started off with the first look at the master plan. The master plan in the initial look that went out to the board shows a 9-station model, which includes both Discovery Bay stations open, 4 stations in the Brentwood area, and 3 stations in the Oakland area, looking at response times, the drive time responses of 4 minutes in the highly populated areas and 8 minutes in there. Again, you know, it's real nice to want how many stations and that the district needs. It's going to be finding the funding to make that happen.
Did they talk about the money at all?
As far as the master plan situation, no. The master plan is really looking at what the district, what kind of services should we be providing, and what kind of services should we be providing with future growth. It really has to do with service and not the funding side of the house.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks, Chief.
Thank you. Supervisor Pico's office.
Supervisor Pico's office, they were unable to come. She was able to see me.
All right, thank you. Okay, we're going to move on now to the consent calendar. Do I have your motion?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We'll now go to the presentations. Review of the draft 5-year water wastewater rate study.
Thank you, members of the board. If I can just give a brief introduction, and then Allison Likovich, if I hopefully pronounced your name correctly, who's the vice president of Barta Wells and the district's public financial advisor, will give her presentation. This is a second presentation of the water and wastewater rate study. This item is an informational item for you today, and we will bring it back to you. Answering the questions that you have today for a decision at your May 18th meeting. And at that time, we would propose to begin the Prop 218 formal notification of the public. Just a couple comments before we begin. The last time this item was before you on water, the proposed rates, 5-year rate increases for water, were at a 17%, 17%, and then 4 percentage points for the succeeding 3 years. And although those sound like high percentage points, Discovery Bay's water rates are really extremely low considering, you know, all of the communities surrounding us. We still, even with these rates, I should point out, you will see that we remain way on the low end compared to other public agencies. One of the things that the board asked for is if there was this ability to look at stabilizing the rate so you didn't have so much of a difference between 1 year and the next, and you'll see the answers to that, and we'd be happy to answer more questions about that. But the other thing was, in the capital improvement program underwater, we did have a number of projects that were listed as unfunded. And so we took a look at what those projects were, because if a project is under capital improvement program, it should be a funded project. One of those were district offices. We have removed that from the capital, suggested that that be removed from the capital improvement program. And instead, among staff, we have discussed this. And we have a few individuals that don't actually have a workspace and a desk, and we can do something with a much more modest remodel of, say, $25,000 or $30,000 to get some workspaces that then would be portable and movable for in the future whatever the district decides to do. So that will save, you know, several million dollars that I think is a little bit premature at this point to spend. Next, one of the things that we noticed was that in the district's water master plan, there was at the very end of the master planning period, which is, you know, 2016, 17, 18, 19, 19, 20, those years, and that master plan was developed in 2011. They were talking about infrastructure water main changes. And that was really listed as a low priority. So we discussed this with Ludolf and Scalamini, both the fact that these were listed way down at the end, they appeared to be low priorities, But the district is experiencing a growing amount of emergency water supply repairs. Starting in the 300,000s in 2012, it has been steadily increasing to last year. It was about $450,000. And so for Lutefen Scalamini to look at that issue of where our emergency water supplies are occurring and take a good detailed look at the asset management, we think that that's the step that the district should take. And you will note in the presentation from Allison at Barter Wells that we have a suggestion that the district currently is setting aside $200,000 a year for a water infrastructure fund. We believe that given that our pipes are 40 years old, that that really should be increased. And if we're talking about potentially $2 or $3 a month increase in water rates so that we have that funding when we do that asset plan and we can start replacing the pipes that need to be replaced, we believe that that's something that you should strongly consider doing, and that that would be much more prudent for us going forward and may avoid the need for bonding in the future for those. Sort of pay as you go, save as you go, set aside the money right now. And again, we're talking about $2 or $3 a month. And then for wastewater, you'll see the rates are roughly the same as what you saw in February, which was an 11, an 11, and a 4.44. But you will note that our wastewater rates are relatively high compared to other surrounding agencies. And so we've been working hard on sharpening the pencil. In the intervening period between the February meeting and this meeting is when we had that Stantec report that talked about potentially $4 million of work that needed to be done at Plant 1. That issue, we and the board decided required further scrutiny. We really need to ask the question, do we need Plant 1? And then if we do, we move on from there. If we would have included that $4 million within this rate study, I think, Allison, it would have raised the rates by potentially $30 a month. So that is a measurable item. And another reason why I think it was a prudent decision that requires further study before we embark on that sort of an expenditure. So at this time, I'll turn it over to Allison for her presentation.
So option one is a draft rate option here, and this was the option we presented at the mid-February board meeting. It includes a 17% rate increase, 17%, and a 4.4. And this is for an average single-family customer. And 17% really sounds like a lot, but if you look at the dollar change to the actual bill, it's only about $6 a month increase. This assumes financing of water meters and well 8 up front right away. So we have to cover that debt service cost right away. So that's the need for fixed financing rate. And it assumes eventual funding over a few years to upsize some pipelines. So the second option is a new option. And we looked at a more stable rate plan. So levelizing the rate increase more stably over the 5 years. So this option had a 15% increase, 15%, 12, 12, 12. And again, it's only about a $5 per month increase on a typical bill. So this also assumes upfront funding of the water meters. But as Catherine said, it really builds up a war chest of infrastructure reserve. And so at the end of 5 years, we have about $2.6 million that we estimate. And that gives you a lot of flexibility. You can use that to cash fund well 8. You can use that for those mainline replacements. Or you can pay down some debt. So it gives a little more financial flexibility. And so the point of this chart is just comparing option one and option two side by side. And you can see a 17% increase compared to a 15% increase. So it's a difference of 2%. How many dollar difference is that? It's less than a dollar difference. It's the bill of $38.29 compared to $37.26. Very minimal increase, or minimal change of that 2% increase. So also on this chart, I wanted to point out that option two, although it's smaller rate increases initially, by the third year, the fiscal year 2019, that's when option two becomes more expensive. So it's a $48 bill compared to a $46 bill. And then the subsequent bills in year 2020 and 2021 are more expensive under the second option. And that additional funding goes to that infrastructure replacement fund. So even though we're looking at double-digit rate increases, Discovery Bay will still have extremely low water rates. So this chart is a bill survey of typical single-family bills across this area. And even with the rate increase, the bills will still be extremely low. So a number of other agencies in this area have over $70 per month typical bills, whereas Discovery Bay is around $40. And just to emphasize the point once again, every agency is facing drought, and many agencies are facing rate increases. So Stockton has a proposed rate increase. Brentwood just increased their rates. Lathrop just increased their rates. Everybody is facing this problem. So to wrap up quickly on the sewer rate study, this rate option was the same one that I presented in mid-February. And we worked closely with staff, but we need to refine it, anything we could take out, anything we need to add. But we felt that it was appropriate. We fully vetted it, and we're recommending an 11%, and a 4.4 rate increase. And those increases are needed to fund the filter project, the debt service on the filter project, which is a very sophisticated, high level of wastewater treatment. So even if you only have the double-digit rate increase, but 11% only equates to about $7 a month increase on a typical bill. So unfortunately, Discovery Bay does have very high sewer rates currently, and we're proposing to increase those. So it bumps Discovery Bay towards the higher end of the rate survey chart shown here. But again, it's important to note, you have very low water rates and high sewer rates, so you add them together, and Discovery Bay is kind of in the middle of typical utility bills across this area. So we're looking for direction from staff or from the board on
I make a couple observations?
Yes.
So I'd make a couple observations. Thank you for being very clear, concise, and simple for us to visualize and to see. It's very helpful. It looks to me like even if by 2021, assuming that no other districts would raise their waters, which we know, I mean, costs, which we know isn't going to happen, we would still be in the very middle of the water rate. So I don't see the water rates as being a real issue. I think what's important, though, as we start discussing with the public, the metering and that type of thing, is what you had said, and that is that we still have to pay for the pie, no matter how you cut it up. And therefore, I appreciate that what you're showing is an average bill here, but that bill is going to have to be paid whether they're doing it at 15 CCF or 12 CCF. They're still going to have to pay that amount, so that conservation doesn't necessarily equate to saving cost, and I appreciate that, and we need to make sure that that's part of our education piece moving forward to the public. And then on the wastewater side, I would just make the observation that if you'll notice that the three organizations that are at the high end are all relatively new developments. The ones that are cheaper are the ones that have been around for a long time. Look at the cities that are cheaper. And Mountain House, Lathrop, and Discovery Bay are all very relatively new developments and wastewater treatment areas. And the infrastructure costs a lot to build and to upgrade to what the state requirements are. And I think that helps explain why we're at that end of that scale. And that's all I have.
Well, the question that I have is you're basing this on the use of, was this cubic centimeters per foot? What does the CCF stand for?
100 cubic foot, and it's 748 gallons.
So you're basing this on 21 and assuming it'll drop to 15.
So that's an under customer, and once they're here, and they start getting charged for every single unit.
Yeah, I agree with you. But so what I'm thinking is, you're going to have people that are going to cut back even more than that, and we're also still in water conservation. And if people cut back more than that, we're going to have to raise our rates higher because this isn't going to change our necessity, what we need to run in town of Discovery Bay. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. If we have X amount of dollars coming in, it based on how many gallons people use, and they're now metered, and they start using less, our income is less. So to me, if you're... It's hard to explain this. If you and I have this if you're getting a water bill of $40 a month or $50 a month based on what you're using, and you start cutting back, and your new water bill comes in at $38 a month, what happens with us is we're going to have to come back somewhere down the road, whether a year or a year from now, because it's not going to cover what we already normally have coming in as revenue.
So what the question would be, have you taken that into consideration?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, so we really try hard to pull the most recent water use data available. And actually, we started the study and got the data and asked for more data to get, what is people's conserving drought level use? And so that level of use, that very low use, is big, is the basis for this rate.
Is 21, what is it?
No, that's unmetered customers. Okay, so a metered customer, so a typical metered customer under drought conditions is using 1,500 cubic foot. And we confirmed that with the current consumption data. The second piece to this is customers who are currently unmetered. The town has historically assumed they were using about 2,100 cubic foot because they're not actually being charged with, running water, and we assume, we projected then, once they do that conversion, once the meter comes online and they start seeing their use, and they start being charged for that use, then they would conform with typical consumption patterns already of other existing meter
customers. That's
why I'm asking you. Yeah, because we can't assume people are going to continue to use 21 once they become meter. They won't. They'll see the impact on their bill of monitoring. Yeah, it's a big concern.
Allison, was there any, when you did this, the analysis here, you're assuming a rate of 30 something dollars a month. But did you consider at all the how that is arrived at in terms of a fixed meter charge versus a variable consumption charge? And so that would be a next step, if I'm correct.
So in the interest of having a high-level summary presentation, I chose not to include that discussion, but that will be in our report, and that is required as part of industry standard methodology for us allocating costs, which is fixed charges and volume charges.
So as a customer might say, wow, my bill is too high, and I start cutting back 5 or 10% of my usage, that gets the variable charge, but does not touch the fixed meter charge. So behavior is might be a little different than what you see with a number like this, which is a composite number.
True. And the fixed meter charge provides revenues to the
right.
That's right. It's very key. And
it
pays for infrastructure.
The other thing I don't is, you know, if you look at the capital charges that you talk about for well 8 and so forth, and the denitrification, 83% of those costs are state mandates. You don't have a choice. You know, meters are going to happen. The state's going to, you know, either we're going to do it or they're going to do it for us. Denitrification is going to happen come hell or high water, so we just have to do it. Not a lot of discretion there.
I would like to commend you for a nice, concise report. This could have been very complex, and you brought it home to the masses. So thank you. Now the tough part, support needs to talk a little bit about option one, option two, or some flavor thereof. Anybody want to start?
I did crunch some numbers on it and stuff, and you know, I think the option one's still where I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, I was looking at option number one. As you start comparing, as Allison said, you look at the combination of water and sewer rates. By option one, it's a little front loaded, but it keeps us in sort of the community standard for what water and sewer costs are. Our sewer costs being higher, our water costs being lower, but the customer's utility bill is going to be about what it costs around in this general, you know, geographic area.
I
actually feel that option two is a better option because it gives us money down the road that we're going to need for more improvements. That it develops that infrastructure reserve that we talked about. And what's not being addressed here is plant one. We don't yet have the report to know whether plant one it's needed or it's not needed. And there's nothing in here that is giving us any option to do anything with plant one. It's too valuable. We looked at last month, we looked at the difference between what it costs to build and to expand plant two to achieve that capacity if we need it, and rehabbing plant one, and it was almost double the cost to move everything over to plant two. So I hesitate to cut ourselves short, even though we don't have the answer right now with regards to what's going to happen with plant one. Yes, our capacities are down right now. No, we don't know exactly why that is. We're still doing some research on that. We won't have an answer soon enough to be able to do this, but we can always change the rate down the road and lower it. But it's difficult once we agree on it to go, okay, wait a minute, we've got to do another rate study because we don't have the money, or we have to float a bond, and we're already have some pretty heavy debt. So I don't know if the bond issue is my favorite way to go in the future to fund these things. So I kind of like the fact that option two has that infrastructure reserve fund that may help us in some of those conditions or with new requirements that the state puts upon us.
Tend to lean in your direction also, but I don't know, 12% is, it might be a little bit much. I would, for the same reasons that we're building up a reserve, mm-hmm. Certainly nice to go to the public and say, well, we're only going to raise your rates 4%, but we don't know what's going to happen another 4 or 5 years from now. They have to come back. So the question I have of staff is, when do we think we'd get the analysis back about whether we need to keep plant one or not to keep plant one in number two? When do we have to make a final decision on this rate study?
We need to make the final decision on the rate study at the next meeting, which is May 18th. That's when you would authorize us to move forward. And you won't have a decision on the plant one issue at that time. So that will probably take 3 months, 4 months, something like that. The issue with respect to the option one and option two, the really difference between that is currently the district is setting aside only $200,000 a year for water infrastructure replacement, and we have never replaced any of our pipes. We're now 40 years old. And so that's why we said, okay, we have about 800 and, Dina?
We have about 859,000.
About 859,000 right now. We feel certain that we are going to need to increase that, or you will be facing another request for a bond. And that's why we put option two in front of you. And there certainly is not a magic to the number. This, the end result of the amount that we would gain here is 2.6 million. The amount that we have already in another year, probably with the 200,000 that's being put aside, is about another 1.6, 1.8 million. So 2.5. So that would give us about $4 million for a pipeline replacement in this community, which is a hefty amount to start attacking those things that were listed as unfunded. And that's what I was trying to address. They were unfunded and they were on the CIP list, and we have this aging infrastructure. But again, there's no magic in that number. It was around that target of trying to hit about a $4 million so we would not have to come to you with a bonding request.
Right, and I appreciate that. Yeah. What I might offer, maybe you could answer this, is what if we did a little bit of a compromise on those three outlying years, you know, year 3, 4, 5, instead of 12% and 10%? What? How does that move the number? Where do we get there? That, to me, keeps our numbers a little closer to the rest of the community.
Yeah. Right.
Our surrounding
community. So maybe instead of 12%, something like 8%,
and it's a 6.6 million. Why is the 17 not right?
So if we went from 12% to 10%?
Yeah, no,
I well, you've got 8%. You know what 8 is.
It's
higher than
that. Yeah, I think
that's what I'm trying to understand.
Director Pease, I would just point, and I appreciate what you're saying, but I would just point out that even without an escalator on anybody else's numbers, because we don't know what they're going to do, what their rate increase is going to be over 5 years, even at that 12%, that still puts us right smack in the middle of, and really, it puts us right smack in the middle, in the mean of what the rates are currently, not 5 years down the road.
Right, like where I was going is I was combining water and wastewater together.
Well,
we're still on.
I get what you're saying as a total utility bill, but we do break the bill out. And there's reasons that we're at the top end of the wastewater, and you know what those reasons are. I don't know that we should be subsidizing that at the cost of the water plant.
Just for discussion, what we're looking at here is a 5-year study, but we're going to be approving rates for 1 year. So what happens in that third, fourth, and fifth year? We can always revisit next month, next year, or 2 years from now. So, and the economics could radically change in a couple of years. The drought may go away, consumption's going to be back up because of a lot of rain. There could be additional or different state mandates that we're affected by. So, from my perspective, I'm looking at a year or two, and we're obviously going to have to revisit this, because there's just too many moving parts with the plant one and with other issues that I don't want to start saying, well, this is going to be it for 5 years.
Well, this is the roadmap.
Well,
jumping a bit.
Direction from staff.
Yes, you are absolutely correct that the board may alter courses going forward, but what we would be asking you to put forward in front of the public is a 5-year rate path. You always have the choice in every future year to adjust that, and we may be asking you to do that based on this asset management plan that I'm saying needs to be done for the water portion, as well as the further evaluation of that STANTAG for the plan one question. You may come back next year. So it is a combination, I guess, of what you were saying.
Because option one or two for the first 2 years is the same. We're having the same discussion.
No, because when you adopt a rate analysis and you do a 218 analysis, you are going to pick the highest amount. So you're going to pick whatever that number is in year 2021, 50-26 or 60-30, right? Depending on whether we adjust it. That's going to be the number. and that's the maximum amount that you can charge in any given year. You're going to say, in terms of your plan or your proposal, year one is, and I'm just taking option number one, just by way of, year one is 38.29. We're less than the maximum that we could otherwise collect under the 218 analysis. Year two is 44.79. If we get to year three and we're upside down, you could immediately go in year three to $60.
So the 218 is just setting a cap.
The 218 is a cap. The analysis is a cap. It's you know, she's presenting a plan on how you get there in terms of, because what she has to provide in terms of the 218 analysis is the nexus and the reasonable relationship between the cost that you have and the fees that you're otherwise charging. So you set a top dollar amount. You can go back in and do this in any given year, but your top dollar amount is what you're shooting for now. And so you might do a 218 analysis that only deals with 1 year. But remember, you're going to do it every single year, and you don't want to go through 218 analysis every year.
And so we would, in essence, by what you're saying, we would be shorting ourselves $10 of flexibility if we went with option one over option two, because there's $10 difference.
As high as you could go.
That's correct.
Yeah, I with that added input, I believe that we ought to really highly consider option two, because I think it gives us much more flexibility. We don't have to get to the top tier, and the analysis that was made about having lots of water and consumption going up, the droughts over and all that, hey, we never get there. We could change it in a year 2021, we don't even go there at 60. But it gives us the flexibility to get there if we need to, and I like the fact that it gives us a fund so that we can address the unfunded pipe and that are in the ground. I think it's part of our responsibility looking at that.
So again, we're not making a decision tonight.
You've given her direction.
Yeah. Okay.
But
what's the direction again?
Yeah,
I think this is all been good.
I think the unfunded issue is
okay. I don't think she needs any more.
I'm not thinking that we should have a higher ceiling.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, it looks like option two is where we'd like to go.
Thank you very much. I would very much like to thank Allison. I know I shut off my computer at about 10:45 last night. I think Dina did about the same. Allison probably did the same. We've been working really hard on trying to provide these options. And I would just do one additional recognition for Allison as our financial advisor. Informed us of a state infrastructure program. Do you want to just say a couple minutes, because it may save us several millions of dollars?
Sure. So there's a state funding program, the Clean Water State Revolving Fund. Every state has a revolving fund loan program, and it's extremely competitive. It well meets market rate bond financing, so it's a subsidized loan program. So I got a state revolving loan for City of Modesto, over $130 million, 30 years at 1%. A typical bond would be 30 years at 5%. So the cost is much, much lower. So what you've done is there's an inquiry form, and so I worked with Tina to fill that out and submit it, and then they can start, the state can tell us if the wastewater filter project is perhaps eligible, and then we can evaluate that as an alternative funding mechanism.
Great, thank you very much. Thanks.
Can you apply for that for more than one project for your plan? In other words, we have the deed application as well as filter. Can you apply for another one, or is it just one-time shot?
Well, you can apply for as many projects as
well. Oh, awesome.
How about retroactive?
Can we buy out the old
bond? Fortunate with these programs. Right.
Thank you very much, Allison. That was very helpful.
Yeah.
So I think that was potentially a $3 million, is that right? Potential savings to the district if we get that?
I'm trying to remember, we ran the 4% interest savings.
Yes. So there's a potential $3 million savings, which is certainly worthy of a thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Okay.
So we are on the
G1.
Okay, let's go to G1.
Thank you very much, members of the board. This item is to consider approving the revised lease terms and authorizing the interim general manager to sign a lease District for the closed fire station at 1535 Discovery Bay Boulevard. This item was before you, I think, in March, authorizing negotiations with the fire district with an annual lease and the option to extend a monthly rent at $1,200 and sufficient notice for lease termination. And the board at the same time indicated their desire to ensure that the lease would not interfere should the fire district decide to reopen the station. I met with the fire chief and we renegotiated a lease, and it was approved by the fire board on Monday night. And so it is attached for your review. The changes in the lease terms are the clarification that any permanent improvements that the district intends to make to the building or property will remain with the building at the termination of the lease. And I've explained to the fire district we don't intend at this time to make any permanent changes. The only item that we've talked about is putting in a gate in the back. The monthly lease would increase from $1,200 to $1,300 per month. Cancellation of the lease was set at 90 days, and we added a specific term that our district will use its best efforts to vacate the property earlier in the event that the fire district plans to reopen the station. And then our responsibility as the lessee to maintain the property was clarified. So I recommend that you authorize me to sign this lease, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
If I understand right, this is going to be an annual lease. If the fire district has already approved what we have in front of us, I don't want to propose a change at this point. But next year, what I would like to discuss is see if we can't get a five-year lease with maybe four five-year options. And that way it sets the town up. They know we've got the ability to be in that building for long term. It allows the fire district to count on those monies. Maybe there's something for that we prepay. I don't know if we're prepaying a year in advance or if it's monthly. We can do something along that line, and it gives us stability to have that facility. And who knows down the road, if they decide that for whatever reason they're going to put it on up for sale, then we're ready to go anyway. So.
Yeah, I was at the meeting on Monday night, as I alluded to earlier, and it was barrels of fun. But when this item finally came up for vote at about 9:45, there were some questions, but no real concerns by the board. It was a unanimous vote. However, there was a workshop prior to the meeting where City Gate, who is the one that does the evaluation for fire districts all over the state, came in and gave a presentation to the district as to exactly what they need, because they may be going for another finance issue on the ballot. And what was really kind of cool was their plan includes opening 58 back up, which was pleasantly surprised to see that they understand. And a big part of their presentation was the importance and the value of the property and homes in Discovery Bay, and the concentration of population out here as opposed to the rural areas that surround Brentwood. And therefore, for response times, 58, it's a nine-station model. Let me first go ahead and say that. It's a nine-station model. But that's what they're saying we really need to have out here to have an effective fire department. So there's a slim chance that at some point they may want that station back, that they were... I brought that up because I think it's good news to know that we're on their radar and that we're getting support from their consultants, that we do have some priority out here, because in the past that hasn't always happened.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
About that meeting? Okay, so they have a nine station model, which everybody says that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Is there a priority list on those stations? Is that number nine or number four?
They didn't go into that detail yet, but actually the way they were speaking, it's about number five.
Okay. I think in answer to what Bill's asking for, we could do a five-year lease with the same escape clause.
Keep everything else the same, and give stability and don't have to go back every year. And
our foot's in
their board.
Absolutely, our foot's in the door at this point. It was presented to them. Hugh actually did a great job in his presentation in explaining that there's not going to be any changes to walls or anything else. That really, we're just really want the bays, is how he explained it, because that kept that square footage at a very reasonable amount. But we do have use of the entire building, and they agreed. They asked a couple questions about that, but ultimately they agreed that that whole facility will be ours to use. However, we see fit, but we're not going to do any tenant improvement work, except maybe paint or clean up, but we will not going to substantially change anything within the building.
Council, is an annual tenancy, so this lease just rolls over every year. Is that correct?
No, there's a provision in it that indicates that it can be extended for additional terms by writing of both parties. If on an annual tenancy, if the tenant holds over, it becomes a month-to-month lease under California law.
Yeah, that's why I'm suggesting it's our next year, when we go to negotiate the lease, we just turn it into a five-year with some options. That way, it doesn't have to come back to this board or their board. It just continues on at that point. It makes a lot easier, I think. More stability for both districts.
Okay. We're going to maintain the condition of it.
Yes.
Okay. That was agreed upon.
Any public comment? No public comment.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Item G2, consider approval to partially reopen Ravenwood Splash Pad. Staff, please.
Person, you want to take this one?
He's looking shocked.
I can.
You start it off.
Okay, I'll start it off. We'll tag team. So Virgil Mack and I and Brian have been talking about the well-loved Splash Pad, and is it possible as a teeing up to reopen it? And I know the closing of it didn't come to the board, but it has been closed, and I thought it was important for you to weigh in on that, especially as it may affect our conservation numbers. So Virgil and Ludark and Scalamini looked at the numbers and actually did an assessment about the maximum amount of water that can go through. And it appears that it may alter our conservation number by about, the best estimate is 0.4 of 1%. And the maximum based on design capacity might be 1%. And we're in pretty solid ground with our conservation numbers, so we feel pretty comfortable with it. And the proposal is just for a partial opening. It's like 6 hours a day and perhaps 8 hours on weekends. But I'll let Virgil talk about really also what needs to be done. It doesn't mean we can turn it on tomorrow, and this is why we're coming to you in a little bit of advance before the heat sets in.
That's correct. We've had it shut down for over a year, so our thinking is that when we try to start it up, we are going to have some parts, components, that may not be working, like mold or anything else. And so it may take a while to get the parts. So with the board's approval, we would probably start later this week, if not early next week, trying to test it, see what parts need to be fixed, ordered. They're more than likely, a lot of times, parts aren't just sitting on the shelf. They have to be made, depend on the item. If it's just electrical, manpower type thing, they can fix that right away, or maybe a resistor or something like that. But, we believe that it'd take about a week or so to get it up and running. Maybe a little longer if the parts have to be special made. And again, in order to run that, sometimes the visual thinking is, let's say it comes on at 11 o'clock in the morning. You actually have to press the button in the middle for the sprinkler heads to come up. And then that's on a timer, and after the trip time, that goes off. Kids want to play with that again, they have to press the button. So it doesn't stay on. The fountains are not constantly running 6 hours a day.
There's where I was going. How do you determine the amount of time?
What we did is we figured out it takes 90 gallons per minute to run all of them. And then, so we did an average, looked at, we talked to the rep and said, all right, what is the average person using, how much time-wise? And so we got it down to 70 to 40%, right in that area. And then we plan to do, at our end, is we have a meter there. The meter's at the front of the park, so it registers even the sprinklers going on. But when that unit is on, we'll try to measure how much water's coming in to get a better feel for what's actually being utilized. But again, as Catherine indicated, it's a really small amount. As you know, we had a 32% bogey on our water reduction. It just got lowered down to 29%.
And the inkling I heard today, California may adjust the Northern California to lower, Southern California to a higher rate. So hard to say where that's going to be, but overall, the splash pad is still a really small amount more.
Yeah, the only thing that I recall is that I thought that the state mandate said that if you couldn't have a pool or something like
that. You didn't have to recirculate.
Correct. How do we get around that?
Well, more likely that regulation is going to be gone. We think the 18th of May.
Oh, okay. All right. So, providing that goes away. The only other item I have is that you propose to open it 6 hours and then on weekends 8 hours. And I would just add in holidays. So, if a holiday Monday or a Friday, just go ahead and let that be a memorial.
Thank you. We also, and I don't know, Virgil, if you mentioned it, is that it doesn't mean that it can open tomorrow. It is going to take some time to make sure that things are all in working order. And we thought that we would do a gradual reopening based on the heat. We may start on weekends, but if it starts getting real hot, then we will do the weekdays as well, and then measure it, and we can watch and see how we're doing.
All right.
I would represent the other side of the coin, and I hate to do this. We're about to put people's water meters in, and we're telling them to put their meters in early because of conservation. Mm-hmm. We're about to raise our rates. We're telling people not to water their lawns, and we're telling them they have to conserve, or we're going to cite them, and we're going to open up a splash pad. And I know as a homeowner here, if I wasn't on the board, I would be saying, what is this board thinking? You're telling me I can't water my lawn, but you're going to open up a splash pad for kids to play in. And I haven't had an issue with it, especially when I got my first water bill. I got told I had to pay for my meter that's coming in 9 years early. So, I mean, I think we should give that some thought, and whether it's fiscally responsible, community responsible, because we're asking people to do something we're not going to be doing. So,
Well, we haven't shut the pool down because of it. So, I mean, it's a recreational thing. And, you know, really the mandate to cut back, we can't take responsibility for that. We're just passing on the rules and requirements of the state. So, and if they modify those rules, then we have every reason to be able to move along with that.
Your point is valid. Well, I would say that if the state takes away that recirculating clause component and allows us to do that, the residents are paying for it. It's in their Belarus and all the or whatever these are paying, and they're not getting a service. And if we're able to provide it because the component was changed and they're paying for it, I think a modest opening of it, I could defend that.
And actually, it's really zone 9 that's really paying for that, because I was put in with the zone, so I believe the meter charge goes back to zone 9.
I've got a couple of questions for you, too. I believe we have parts. They're actually removed every year.
The which?
The parts for the fountains, for the climate cap.
There's parts you have to remove?
Yes, they're actually removed and capped off every year, and then you put that back. I have a question on how can we regulate that usage?
We have a staff meeting after the meeting.
He's new to that. He didn't understand how the concepts of that splash pad go.
We
understand.
Yeah, we know them. We appreciate the input. But,
no problem.
Do we have any public input? No public input. We'll come back to the board. Any other questions or thoughts or comments?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Unopposed. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to mention, Director Simon, I do appreciate your comments. We had a lot of back and forth discussion on that very issue. And ultimately, where it was thinking about that it may help decrease usage of people running those sorts of things in their own backyards to have a centralized area where people can play and to keep that one working. So it was back and forth. I very much appreciate your comments. It was a difficult issue.
It's not that I have a big problem. I'm just hearing it from people who
live there. It doesn't pass the headline
right.
test.
Exactly. I'm not against it myself. But I think the people who live there voted for me. They voted for me. I told them I didn't vote for this.
Okay, go to G3, providing comments about the DBID detachment.
Thank you very much. You have in your packet a letter that was received from the county administrator's office explaining that the VBID application has been filed and that under, I think, the Revenue and Taxation Code, that they are required to inform you of this and give you the opportunity to have comments. I will turn this over for more discussion to Rod, given his experience as a LAFCO expert on this matter.
Thank you. So Catherine is correct. This is a LAFCO procedure. As you know, this came before you. In terms of consideration, it went before San Joaquin County. San Joaquin County punted the decision in terms of the detachment issue to Contra Costa LAFCO. Contra Costa LAFCO gladly accepted, and that's the requirements under Cortese-Knock, which is what everybody refers to as LAFCO law. In addition, under Cortese-Knox, if there is going to be a change in boundaries or this detachment and it affects the service jurisdiction of entities, whatever entity it affects, there has to be a notice sent out under the Revenue and Taxation Code. And that's what this notice is. In addition to this notice, there is a reference in the letter to a county auditor April 1st letter that identifies the six taxing areas that are included within the Byron Bethany Irrigation District. And that letter has been left in front of you. We did not actually receive that letter at the time that they sent this letter. Catherine called to confirm, and your staff confirmed that LAFCO didn't send it to you, and the reason they didn't send it to you is because you weren't a jurisdiction that's otherwise affected. And what that means is that the taxing areas and the six overlapping taxing areas that Byron Bethany Irrigation District has received property taxes from, Discovery Bay is not one of them. Even though you provide a service to that area for whatever reason, that hasn't been concluded. I'd like to get some direction from this board to do two things. One, to reach out to LAFCO and see if I can chase down why that occurred, unless anybody here older than me, although I think I've said that I've been around longer in terms of counsel, and I don't recall it, and John Stovall did not recall it either. But find out why the taxing area doesn't include any monies coming to from property taxes coming from those taxing areas. I can draw some assumptions, and if you'd like me to, I'm happy to tell you what my theory is, but nevertheless, I would like to reach out, get direction from this board, to reach out to LAFCO and ask those questions. The second thing is we'd like to, on behalf of Discovery Bay, provide a response to this particular letter. If you'll notice, and Catherine was astute to point out, that the second to last sentence of the letter says, we do not anticipate that the negotiations will result in a significant change in the allocation for most special districts. They're taking your comments, but I think that's a kind of tone that it's not going to affect you that much, so don't bother responding. I think what we would like to say to this letter is we don't know that we deserve a seat at the table. We are a district that is going to be providing a service. It's the same service that we've been providing. And the change in Byron Bethany Irrigation District no longer having that duplicative service, in effect, changes our service, right? There's only now one entity that's providing it. And so if there is a ad valorem tax issue that goes along with this, we'd at least like to have a seat at the table to understand what the issues are. We may not have any standing on that issue, but if we do, I'd like direction to be able to respond to this letter with that kind of comment. And the third and final thing that the staff is recommending is that two members of this body be appointed as a group committee to work on this particular issue and potentially meet with Supervisor Pifo and understand the status of this. It doesn't necessarily make sense that the service jurisdiction is going to change and yet the only entity providing the service isn't in the ad valorem. I'm still scratching my head to that, but it might be worthwhile for at least one or two members to reach out to Supervisor Pifo's office and understand that issue and request the opportunity to sit at the table. If there's nothing for us to interject and nothing for us to add, and we've got no value added to that discussion at the table of those tax sharing arrangements, then fine, we've got nothing to share. But at least we get an opportunity to understand what the issue is. And at this point, we don't have an opportunity to even understand what the issue is. So those are the three recommendations. I'm not necessarily looking for a specific action, just looking for direction to be able to follow.
I personally believe that we need to have a spot at the table. It's our residents that are paying the funds. And I think, I know there's legal issues revolving around it, and I do believe that we should direct legal counsel to find out why we were excluded to begin with, how it happened. And I do think that we should set up a committee to be able to respond a little faster. My recommendation would be, this is going to go on. This isn't going to be resolved this year. It may not be resolved next year, but it should be the president, vice president, whoever they are at that time, to carry through that, because I think it presents a more forceful spot when you're talking with them, if you have president of the board, vice president
of the board. I would disagree with that. We're all board directors here. The position of president is not leader of the board, it's moderator of the board. For these meeting requirements, nobody has any more power on this board than anybody else or more presence. There was four members of that district came to me about 3 years ago and showed me their TRAs and said, why am I paying into BBID? And those questions is what started this investigation, which was the impetus for us going to Bob Campbell, to Rick Gilmore, to Supervisor Pifo, and to the gal from LAFCO and her representative. What's her name?
Luann.
Texera, and having three meetings already with them with regards to this issue in order to get to this point right now. I would like to be considered to be one of the people on that board just because of the continuity and my familiarization with the players.
Now, you went to three meetings?
Yeah.
I didn't recall that the board gave anybody authorization to go to them. You just went as
I went because I was invited by the supervisor's office to go.
Right.
Supervisor people invited me to these meetings where these discussions occurred. And basically because I had taken these issues to her from like I said, four people that lived in those jurisdictions that said that we were going through TRAs for another item altogether, and all of a sudden they said, why are we paying money into BBID? And that was what was the impetus behind the initiation of these questions to begin with.
Is there any, before we take this thing, or any public comment on it? Steve, now I'm going to bring it back to the board. Any board has one?
I think Kevin does have the most continuity on this. We've been aware of this for a long time now, and I don't even think there's any other, as far as who has got it, we're all equal here. So I think continuity, right, it's going to take several years, and I think Kevin would be the right guy to be on that dialogue. And if if there's a spot for me, I would like to be on that also. I know we've got some continuity with the LAFCO and the supervisor's office, and I'd like to be aware and make sure that we're all informed on these decisions.
Got to throw something else out there.
Sure.
Just to confuse things?
Yeah.
What about that? Water committee doing?
Yeah.
Water issue, all BBID, it's water.
Yeah, I'd be Bill and myself, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. Thank you for making that suggestion. If you're okay with that, I would.
I think one of the things that's going to happen is Kevin has a relationship with very people that a lot of us don't have, so she's not easy to have a relationship with. But of course, she's going out of office at the end of the year. So
no, 2 years. She finishes this year and has one more year.
One more year.
She won't.
Okay.
Oh, she does. But we both this year, but she doesn't come in
right now. So there's a chance that they might get done in the next 2 years, and I think somebody that has a relationship with that office should, the two of you should do it.
That's fine. I'm good with that.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. I really would like to be involved in that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. The only reason I would miss your president, vice president, we're all equal, I agree. And president here just runs the meeting, that's fine.
There's a title.
There's a title when you're out in public, and that's that was the reason.
That's why I didn't suggest you not be on the
Okay.
I love you too.
I wasn't going to say that.
Okay.
I appreciate Director Leeds understanding, or Vice President Leeds understanding.
Does that give staff?
Yes.
All good.
All right, good. We don't have any informational items. President's report, I have nothing special to report in your record.
I do and I don't. You guys all know I was at the fire meeting, we talked about that. I'm just curious, we have this board director's D2 that was put on our desk today. Do you know why this was in front of us? It wasn't discussed at all. This is the white paper from their attorneys.
That's right. That was the white paper that the fire chief promised that he would give to us, and he gave to us today.
Oh, it was part of his report, and he handed
part
it to
us. Part of his report, so we were just getting it right out to you.
As long as
it does, it does kind of combine in terms of the BBID issue as well, because I think one of the theories has been that if there is a tax reallocation, and maybe Hal Bray's was a little bit different in terms of taking a percentage of everybody's tax rather than just transferring BBIDs, but that's why it was there.
And when we get, when we have this opportunity, when you have this opportunity to discuss, and then if we get brought into some discussions with the supervisor, I think that you'll find that there's people in the county that have been thinking along the same lines, that maybe that money should go to subsidize the fire district it's coming down rather than being redistributed, because it would be benefiting the residents of that area that have been paying into it for all the time. But that's, nothing's gone down that road yet.
And as you can see, and I think my representation to you without doing the research was that I thought that was illegal. Always great when another law firm concurs with my opinion, and
yes.
Hanson Bridget has indicated that would be illegal as well.
And on that segue, we discussed in the meeting last month that we listened to both presentations, and we had discussed whether or not we were going to represent both presentations on our website with regards to if any presentation came forward in the future. And I would just make the comment, and I know we can't take action, but I would make the comment that we be very careful about presenting ECV's information on our website, because it's been stated as being illegal right here.
I was being courteous at the time. If they got something to go,
elephant in the room, I get it. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other director's comments? Seeing none, we'll move to manager's report, update on the rec program.
Good evening, and thanks for having me come in. Just to update you on the recreation side of the town we're working on. I've got three topics to cover tonight: aquatics, summer activities, and special events. And of course, lately we've been talking about water, so we'll start off with that right away. Again, providing a safe and properly managed facility is utmost importance for the town. Kind of in your materials that we've given you, we've had a couple of challenges already. So one was we had an individual who was certified, lived locally, that we had hopefully secured by the first of the year. Unfortunately, that was our first challenge. That didn't work out too well. We did the letter, offer letter. That person then kind of disappeared. So when you're doing aquatics, having something like that happen in February is usually not a very good sign and or good timing, because in this particular environment, getting those things secured usually by the first of the year is utmost importance. Did luck out a few weeks ago, another individual that lives here in town who is certified, has all the proper qualifications to properly and safely manage the facility. Did the offer letter. We did get her through the process of getting her hired. I'll be meeting with her again tomorrow, and we'll start working out, okay, we've got 30 days or less to get this thing going. What is it that we have to work with in those challenges? That, I did want to make it clear at this point, the original intent was to do a 7-day-a-week full program during the course of the summer. But in discussions with staff, we felt that because this is a safety-minded industry where we definitely need to make sure that we have that full well-covered, the staff is well-trained, they're well-managed, that perhaps 7 days a week right now is not going to be possible. Again, tomorrow I'll sit down with her, we'll go through it, we'll look at it. We are kind of anticipating, probably looking at something maybe more along the lines of a 4 or 5 day program, maybe something like a Thursday through a Monday or a Thursday through a Tuesday. Again, we may have some rabbits that we may be able to pull out of our hat in the next couple of weeks. But again, I think safety is really important. We talked again tonight about the water feature that we have. So perhaps that's an alternative too. If we're not able to do more than 4 or 5 days a week, that perhaps those 2 days where we don't have the staff here to do what we need to do, then we open up the spray park, and at least that way residents have a place to go and be cool this summer. Because as you know, whenever you go through stuff like this, of course, it'll be the hottest summer, and we'll have all those challenges that go with that as well. Any questions on the aquatics part?
Because that's a different model than last summer.
Yes, it is. Last summer we did a 7 day a week, but we did have a person, or at least the town did, that was certified, that was here all summer long and worked with the staff. And again, qualifications is extremely important. We don't want to come back and talk about, well, we did a 7 day a week program, we really weren't certified, we really weren't well trained, and now we have an issue that's even greater than we have right now with maybe going to 5 day a week program. Okay. Lots of some more exciting things, yes, fingers crossed. More exciting things, summer activities. The new activities guide pipeline is at the Crayons right now. We expect it to be in the mail either the 11th or the 12th of next week. Registration opens on the 12th. Classes will start that first week in the summer, which is June 6th. I kind of gave you a little bit of a preview of the different programs that we have going on. We have Kids Love Soccer. We have some kids' dance classes. We have archery. If you haven't been out there lately, Brian and his crew did some modifications so that the archery instructor doesn't have to worry about arrows flying in different directions like last summer. So he promised me that it was going to work well. The instructor's going to go out there and check on it and make sure. So if you get a chance, those three pikes that look like they're just standing out there, they actually hold the net to keep the arrows from flying across the field. We have Cutaflex, which is new this year. We have British Soccer Camp. Martial arts, we're actually contracting with an organization in Brentwood to offer martial arts programs for all the kids. Tennis classes, if you haven't been out there on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, are starting to take off, which is what we like. The tennis program out here should be an asset to this community. I'm personally a member of Diamond Hills, and these courts are gorgeous. Catherine's there too, and they definitely rival what people pay lots of money every month to play for. They get to play for free here. But we have a tennis program going now again, and hopefully that will expand over the coming months. Boating safely, and I'm told that's not a typo, it's called safely, not safety. And the instructor is actually a Coast Guard certified person. They're doing a program through Liberty Adult Ed this year, and they're actually doing the same program for us here. So if you live in Discovery Bay, you don't have to go to Brentwood, you can actually take the program right here. We matched all prices and everything, so there is no difference between here and there. Babysitting classes, we'll give that a try again. And if you've ever been here on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, Zumba goes pretty crazy. So we'll have that going again this year as well. Any questions on the summer activities and programs?
What if you could define British soccer versus American soccer? I don't know.
Well, it's an organized program, and when you talk to them, they have a very thick British accent, because I know when I talk on the phone, I have to listen carefully. It's another one of those programs. There's a lot of them out there. Kids love soccer. British is just another version of it. They try to bring soccer players from England over during the summertime. The idea is that they'll actually, somebody may take in the soccer player for the summer or for a few weeks or whatever, and then that individual actually works with the kids in teaching soccer. So if you want to see the real European version, that's the one you want to sign up.
They're a different style. British is different than the Dutch, which is different than the German, which
right.
is different than
which may yeah. be different than Kids Love Soccer.
Meaning the way they play, the
style, and style and the training.
Mr. President, afterwards, if you want a full rundown on it, I coached professionally for a couple of years here, as well as a
there
full team, and we hosted British Challenger, and we've had the guys stay with us for the last 4 years, so I can tell you all about the program. It's a great program.
I've never heard of it, so I appreciate the offer, and
hit me up later, and I can tell you all about it.
I think I know enough about it
if you want,
I'll
worry about it mixed company, but if you want a great time with these guys and a little bit of cultural experience in that, host one of these Challenger coaches at your house. It's an absolute blast, and these guys are a boatload of fun, and we've actually worked out a combination of being able to go over there and stay with them, so it's a good opportunity.
Great. The only downside, you have to warm up your beer before you serve.
Set that beer outside.
Yeah, it'd be enjoyed to be out there too.
I can't run anymore, so anyway.
There you go. All right, Rob, thank you for the plug. There you go. So
no problem.
Sure
it's a great program.
Everybody sign up for that camp and wanted to go. All right. Special events. Once again, we'll be doing Friday movies in the park back here starting June 10th. It is a popular program. I think it averaged about 70 folks each Friday night that we did it. Gave you a little teaser there. We do have a total of 7 movies between June 10th and July 29th. We've got Raiders of the Lost Ark, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Race of the Sing-Along version. So if you haven't gone to that before, you need to come and do the sing-along. We expect Dina will be there as well.
Front row.
So, and then we have Tattooey as well, but there's some other movies that we'll have going on with that. So, but that's basically kind of a quick overview of what we got going on this summer. Any questions?
No, thank you.
That's great. It's great.
Thank you.
Great.
How are we talking about the pipeline for the magazine? The activity guide?
So the magazine, the activities guide, the pipeline, instead of doing the flip thing, what we did this time is we've kind of made it one nice magazine. We've blended the two together. So when you see the cover, it'll have a merger of the pipeline and the activities guide, very magazine looking like. When you open it up, you've got pipeline stuff on the inside. Then it'll jump back to some activities guide stuff, pick up again somewhere, I forget which page, we'll talk about pipeline stuff again, and then finish out at the end. So hopefully a nice magazine, because again, you always got that, well, I didn't get my activities guide, well, I didn't get my pipeline, and we always have to say, flip your magazine over and look at the other side. Where I was before, we did that once, two for a couple of years, and eventually it went away, and we went right back to the magazine style. So.
And this change is saving us $4,500 a year.
Hello.
Yeah.
We like that change.
Yeah.
Good change.
So if I could, well, it's because I was one of those that said, where is my activity guide? Yeah. I didn't know that you flipped it over. We need to change this. And as it turns out, the blessing on top is we save $4,500 a year. I do want to thank Mac and particularly call out. We had really sort of to say, you know, sort of what are the things that might keep you up at night and you worry about. And a lot of, you know, we concentrate a lot, as we should, on the water and the wastewater, but the recreation is such an important function of ours in a way that we can touch so many of our residents. And we did have a real concern that we may not be able to open Rec Swim this summer. And Mac worked, I told him the only thing we're going to talk about until you have it solved is what are you going to do to solve this? And he ultimately did, through all of his extensive connections. It's a benefit of having someone with a full career in the recreational field. He's just done an exceptional job, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Okay, and with that, we'll go to the general manager's report.
Thank you very much. Just a few things. The staff was not sure that Director Graves properly noticed the lighted flagpole when he left after the last meeting. So this item is on the agenda to make sure that you know that the flagpole.
Thursday when I was here.
Very good. I see the gentleman in the back smiling now that you noticed that. So that's why that item
I did.
Is
I
on
went,
there.
I don't think there was a light halfway up that pole before. Thank you.
You are most welcome, and Brian Miller is nodding yes. Thank your staff, I really appreciate it. The next is the draft annual water quality report, consumer confidence report. The draft is on your table. That's just an item for your information. It does come out in a very glossy report. This is just the typeset version that comes out, and you will notice as you go through, we are well under all of the requirements. There are no violations. And it actually is an extremely good report. A couple of other things, landscaping was another issue that came up at the last meeting, just an update. There were two issues. One is the Caltrans maintenance, and then the second is the possibility of doing some landscaping. I spoke with the chief of the Caltrans Office of Landscape Architecture, and who explained that Caltrans does not landscape these conventional highways, meaning something that has stop lights. What they do landscape are conventional freeways that are closed systems with entries and exits. But she is looking at the type of landscape and if we can get some local funding. And so I've spoken with Mary Pifo's office and they're evaluating whether there might be some localized funds that we might be able to use to address the landscaping. The second issue was the Caltrans maintenance. It took a number of phone calls. We got some assistance through Mary Pifo's office to get connected to the legislative advocate for the District 4 of Caltrans, as well as Assemblyman Frazier's office. It took both of those to get us to the right place because the Caltrans mowers were broken. And they are gonna go out, we were told this afternoon, and hand do the work until the mowers are fixed, and then they will come out and redo it. So they are helping us out in that regard and trying to pay some attention to the Discovery Bay area.
Great, very good. Okay, with that, District Lead.
Nothing further for me.
Subcommittee updates. I don't believe we have a meeting on any of the subcommittees. Correspondence, letters to LAFCO, et cetera. No records request. Any future agenda items from the board?
Yeah. Is it possible to get an update from Bob Murray next week? Or at least a report?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. And also, I'd like to see how we come along on the comp study.
Yes, you can.
All right.
And I can say on the Bob Murray, I believe the announcement has gone out and the time period closes, or it is coming out forthcoming within a couple of days, and it closes on June 6th. And that is within their contract. They are writing within their contract.
I noticed it wasn't on their website.
It's supposed to be.
Okay, do I hear a motion to adjourn? We're here at 8:38.